And I think that kind of goes into body image with girls because societally, we're not really supposed to love our bodies that much because it's like you don't want to be seen as like conceited or cocky. So it sort of incentivizes people not to have a great attitude towards their own body and encourages kind of an environment where one person says, oh, I don't like this about me. And it's like going to be awkward if I'm like, oh, well, I'm confident in my body. So the societal like norm is to be like, yeah, I don't love this about me either. And then that kind of just creates like more and more negative energy around everyone. And then you've got, oh, well, they said they don't like that about me. I didn't even think that could be wrong.
Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by the Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, Virago Warriors, and welcome back to episode 25 of Virago Pod. On last week's episode, we had a great discussion with a current athlete who has struggled with an eating disorder during her athletic career, and we touched on some things that helped her along with the journey. So as sort of a part two to last week's episode, I wanted to bring on someone who I knew through Instagram that has done a phenomenal job of changing her team's culture on the way they talk about food, body image, and diet culture in general. On today's podcast, junior lacrosse player Liney Somerville joins us to discuss why it's so important to change the vocab within your team. Or if you're no longer an athlete, I would argue with your friends, your family, even your colleagues. I think some of these things are just things you can practice in your everyday life that you may not even realize were causing you or others harm. Throughout this episode, Liney kept making me think of different examples of how I felt about my past feelings of insecurities or body image or lack of confidence. And a lot of it, I think, did come down to the community around me. I will admit, we did not have a great culture on my athletic team with, or on any of my teams with body image. And I think a lot of that is just part of collegiate and elite and, you know, just women athletics as a whole. So I think this is a topic of changing the team culture that's super important that that we can do. Liney includes some actionable steps at the very end, and I give some ideas as well. So I'm really excited to hopefully have some positive changes in some teams or friend groups or even just things that you can do to try to start practicing to improve your own and the people around you's body image. All right, let's get into today's episode. Okay, we have got Liney, a lacrosse player from Johns Hopkins, joining us. Thank you so much for recording this with us.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I found your Instagram from, you know, the people you may know. That's how I'm kind of going getting our guests now. And I just love the content because it's something that Taylor and I have talked about extensively at different team talks we give and also alluded to in some earlier podcasts, especially the last one last week with Kira. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to go into more detail, especially speaking to a current athlete on how team culture is now since I played 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. So first and foremost, can you start just with giving our listeners a general feeling on why language is so important in athletic teams and why what we surround ourselves with is so important to our mental health?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the biggest reason, the idea sort of that got this Instagram going was how we talk about anything will affect how we view it and how we act on it. And I think that's a big theme in sports, just in general. Like if you're going into a practice and it's rainy outside and like maybe you're coming off of a hard loss and we're in the locker room before and people are talking like, oh, this practice is going to suck. This is just going to be the worst. We just got to get through it. Then it kind of sets a negative tone for practice. And you can't really expect practice to go well if you're coming out with that kind of language, like going into it. So I think the same thing happens when we're talking about food, exercise, and body image. But it's a little bit harder to pick up on because kind of the negative tones that you put in are so normalized and ingrained in our society. And we're so used to constantly having these little comments about how people look, what they're eating, what they're doing to work out. So unless it's pointed out to us, then we may not even realize that we're using language that's harmful and that we may be internalizing those attitudes and acting on them.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's something that obviously Taylor and I from the Virago Project like to preach body positivity and kind of remove these stigmas. But I will say that we were both guilty of these, and it was definitely on our team culture when we were at UNC. It's, you know, obviously not something we're happy with, but it's part of the reason why we're doing this, because it's something that, you know, helped lead to Taylor's and did not help Taylor's eating disorder. And for me, I don't know, things that I said could have affected my teammate's body image. And even just being in that environment, I'm thinking back, it was the worst time for my body image. And I have no clue how much of that was due to the community and what I was surrounding myself with. So I think this is a really important conversation, and it's on all facets, right? You think a lot of times you're saying, oh, I don't like how I look in my uniform, and, or it's like you're thinking of these gymnasts, but really it's in all facets of these athletes' lives. It's the locker room, it's the dining hall, it's we're traveling on team meals. It's when we're wearing normal clothes. It just is all over the place, really. So can you give me some examples of some common traps that either your team or you could see a hypothetical athletic team might be at danger for falling trap into this kind of negative and harmful vocabulary?
Yeah, definitely. So I think to start off, athletes in general, I think it sort of goes under the radar how common this sort of thing is with athletes, because it's easy to think like, oh, I have enough energy to get through practice, so I must not have a problem. Like, and a lot of athletes are already interested in health and nutrition. So the lines between being healthy and being like overly restrictive and kind of leading yourself down a path towards an eating disorder can get a little bit blurred. And just a reminder to all athletes that like, it's super great to be into fitness and nutrition, but that shouldn't really be negatively impacting your life. And when it starts to, then it may be a time to take a step back and sort of reassess. Other than that, I think I can't speak for boys, but at least on girls' teams, I think comparison and control are two big things that come up a lot. So you're around your teammates like all the time, and it's kind of impossible, I think, not to sort of compare yourself to them at some point, even if you don't notice you're doing it, just by like looking at what people are eating, what they're doing to work out, whether it's outside of practice or just like what they look like. And I think that kind of goes into body image with girls, because societally, we're not really supposed to love our bodies that much, because it's like, you don't want to be seen as like conceited or cocky. So you don't want to carry yourself like you think you're better than anyone. So it sort of incentivizes people not to have a great attitude towards their own body, and encourages kind of an environment where one person says, oh, I don't like this about me. And it's like going to be awkward if I'm like, oh, well, I'm confident in my body. So the societal like norm is to be like, yeah, I don't love this about me either. And then that kind of just creates like more and more negative energy around everyone. And then you've got, oh, well, they said they don't like that about me. I didn't even think that could be wrong. Like, so then it's just a group of people who don't love their own bodies. So I think cutting that sort of negative self-talk out can help a lot of people, just yourself, your team, everything. And then with exercise, I also think, at least for me, I stopped sharing my like activity on my Apple Watch, because especially during quarantine when we were away from sport, and I was just getting notifications all the time, like this person burned this many calories doing this workout, or like I would do a workout and get a text like, what'd you just do? I want to do it. I want to burn more calories. And it just became like, I don't like this, like more stressful, not exercising for fun. So I think that all kind of goes into the competition piece. So those are two like actionable things, like cut the negative self-talk. And if it does affect you, if it doesn't affect you, great. But like for me, I can't share activity with like my friends or teammates, really. I just don't like it. I think all of that tying together, anything like language around linking sport to trying to look a certain way, like for example, like these sprints are going to make us so skinny, like, yay, like we need to do a lot of sprints so that we can like go out this weekend, and like categorizing food as good or bad, or becoming too reliant on fitness trackers like the Apple Watch or Whoop. I think all of those are avoidable things, and like I'm guilty of literally all of them, but just like having some reminders and being like, okay, it's not the end of the world. I'm a high level athlete. Like, I'll be okay. Like, I think all of those are just, those little mantras and reminders are really important.
Yeah. I think that's the important thing too, with what you're saying is like, I'm not perfect. Like, we're sharing things that have worked and hurt us, because there's things that you don't even realize that, I'll use the word triggers, but like, that make you think until like it happens. And if you don't hear someone say it, like, I was literally at Taylor was giving a team talk with one of the teams, and I was kind of talking about this of comparing food to a teammate at team meals. And so then, you know, just paying attention to what your teammate's eating, maybe a teammate that you think you want to look like, and goes to what you were saying about comparison. And then all of a sudden you're comparing the fact of, oh, I just had a breadstick at Olive Garden before this meal. This person who, and it goes to, maybe this person's starting, maybe this person's playing more than you, maybe this person has a body that you're idealizing, and you see them not eat the breadstick. And all of a sudden you're thinking like, oh, this is because she has more control than I do. And then it goes into, that person finishes their pasta and they say, wow, I just ate way too much and I feel like a cow. And you're like, oh my gosh, if she feels like a cow after she ate that much. And then all of a sudden you're looking at portion sizes, and it's the whole comparison thing. And, you know, what I was thinking about, the, when my mental body image was like the worst, I remember I was dating an offensive lineman in college. So if you, any listeners who don't know football, these are the guys who protect the quarterback, or usually the bigger guys. And I remember we went to like maybe Bieski's. It's like this little rat place on our campus that just serves like burritos. And he did not fit. I got that and fries, and he didn't finish his. And I remember I was like, it's like one of those, like, you know, core memories where I was like, can I finish it? He's like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need it. And I was like, how did I, like, when I, and, you know, you start thinking like, my body is, let's say, half the size of your body. How did I, like, physically, your mind starts doing these gymnastics of like, I didn't need this. And then not until just recently, we were cooking a week ago, a DiGiorno pizza. And my husband's very nice. He feeds me pieces on the couch. And he's like, do you want another one? I'm like, yeah. And then I go over though, because I wanted more ranch dressing with it. And I realized I had more than half of the pizza that he had not eaten yet, because he was still working. And I had had more of the pizza. And I was like, automatically went to this, what, I had more than my share. This isn't okay. Like, and it wasn't because I felt bad that I took his slice. It was because I felt like I should not be eating more than this person that I, in my mind. And then like immediately I was like, no, that's not the way it should be. And I was able to talk back. And this is someone who's never suffered from an eating disorder. So like, if I can have these thoughts, other people can have these thoughts. And I think the important thing is, that's why it's so important to talk, to not use that language, because I've never suffered with it. But if one of my teammates heard me say that, who is struggling, because with the odds, you know, there's going to be, on a 10 person team, there's probably going to be two people, is like what the college statistics are, who's suffering with it. So me making a comment just isn't going to help.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So yeah, I think you touched on a lot of good things, and I want to kind of elaborate on something that I saw one of your posts on, and my biggest thing that I was the worst at, and it is just kind of making jokes, whether it's self-deprecating humor or just like you said, jokes about like, oh my gosh, we're going to be so skinny this summer as we're doing sprints, and like trying to make the silver lining of around our bodies. So I wanted to talk more about that specific one, because it's one I think that a lot of people are like, oh, I don't talk bad about that, I don't do that. But it's something that people don't even realize they're doing, and wanted to bring awareness to it. So why is joking about our body or what we eat such an issue? And what are some substitute languages we can use for that?
Yeah, totally. I think joking about this stuff is probably like the most common way it comes up either way too. I would say it's probably like definitely on my team. Like, no one's just outright being like, I can't eat this. Like, it's a lot more sneaky and like insidious. Yeah. Insidious than that, because that's like how like disordered eating and eating disorders kind of work. They like want you to not think that they're valid. So joking about it is like a very common way it shows up, I think. And everyone on your team and like you can be on the exact same page that like it's just a joke. Like, obviously no one's doing sprints because they want to be skinny this summer, or like, you don't play your sport because you want to be skinny. Like, we all are here for the same reasons, but like, that is so common to just make light of a kind of a tough situation and be like, oh, we got to do sprints. At least we're getting skinny. Like, it's super normal and it's super understandable, but like, once your subconscious hears that, it's kind of out of your control, is like something that someone explained it to me that way once. So like, kind of like what you were saying, I was thinking of a similar example, like about like eating breadsticks at dinner. Cause like my team like kind of jokes that we love Olive Garden, and yeah, like being like, oh, I ate like 10 breadsticks. I'm going to come out here, like come out of Olive Garden weighing so much more than I walked in. And it's like, everyone knows that's a joke. Like, you're obviously not, like, everyone's all good with breadsticks, but your subconscious still kind of hears like, okay, breadsticks equal fat, which like goes to like, I'll be fat if I eat breadsticks, which is like a whole nother animal to deal with. But like, you don't even realize, but you're like, oh, I can't eat that. And then you're like, where did this thought come from? So I just think being aware of our language is just like an easy way to skip that whole step, because once you hear something, you're only in control of your conscious thoughts about it, which with restrictive eating and like compulsive exercise, I feel like most people who are affected don't really have a clear understanding of like why they're even doing it. And you're sort of like even more isolated at that point, because you're like, why am I acting this way? Like, I know this isn't good for me. I know I'm like a high level athlete and I shouldn't be doing this, but I keep doing it. And then you feel even more like weird and just uncomfortable with the whole thing. So if we can kind of like make that connection between the jokes and the language and the like behavior and the compulsion sort of, I think just deleting the jokes altogether is just easy. And like, I don't really know what you could replace them with other than just like jokes about literally anything else.
Totally. And when people are making these jokes, it's not ill-intended. It's just something that needs to consciously be removed from our vocabulary. And hopefully, if you have the relationships with other people, we can start correcting it and bringing awareness to it. Because odds are, people don't really even know when it's happening. Okay. So going off, I think one of the main areas we need to address was that joking and self-deprecating is one problem. The second area, I think, is going to be compliments, because I think a lot of times compliments are also rooted in comparison, which can be that unhealthy behavior. I know when I was an athlete at UNC, there was one major apartment complex that all athletes would go to hang out at the pool, because they didn't require you to be an athlete. There was large space. There was enough room. So there's one pool that we all went to. And this is when I was feeling a little insecure about my body, not only because was I being compared in a swimsuit to my own teammates, but now it's all the women athletes at UNC that have all different types of body types, and some that I, of course, were comparing myself to. It's one of my teammates that I kind of compared my body to, of wishing it was more like them, that's much more in, you know, at that time what I wanted to be, of the lean muscle, the very much Victoria's Secret model feeling. And after the pool one day, we were driving back because we lived together, and you know, she made a comment of like, wow, Emily, you must love going to Chapel Ridge because you love, like, do you just love being in swimsuits? And I was like, what? Like, of course, she is what I wanted to look like in a swimsuit. And so her saying this was kind of like, well, honestly, I thought she was kidding, or like, I'm sure she was being mean. And she's like, yeah, no, you have a very like womanly body with curves that I wish I could have. So I think it's just a lot of times when you see someone and you're looking at their body, like her, she was complimenting me. Like she said, you look great in a swimsuit, but it was rooted in her own insecurity issues. And I think it just shows that a lot of times, you know, nobody's happy with their own body and the grass is always kind of greener sort of thing. So what are your tips or advice on giving compliments to your friends or teammates?
Well, I think first, like, no matter who you're talking to, I think it's important to know the relationship with the person that you're talking to. So if this is something that if you're trying to compliment a friend that you've had like open conversations about one or the other person's like struggles with eating or exercise, then you may be a little bit more cued in to like what might be the right things to say, just to like premise with that. But if you're not sure, then like I would veer away from anything having to do with like people's bodies, because just you don't really know what people are dealing with. I honestly just like to say, like, you look awesome. Like, this picture is so fun. Like, you're glowing. Things that don't really equate someone's value with how their body looks, because even if someone does look really fit or strong, you still don't know. They could be like not eating or overexercising. You just don't know. So I try to just do like, oh, your smile looks great. Your hair looks great. Like, you look so happy. This shirt fits you so well. Something like along those lines. And then that also kind of reminded me of another thing I wanted to say, that like my friends have started saying recently, instead of like how like different body types look good or bad in different like cuts of jeans or shirts or whatever, it's like, that look doesn't really serve me. Like, it looks great on her, doesn't really serve me. Straight leg jeans, not for me. Like, and that's fine. It's like kind of just a more neutral way to say, like, I don't like to wear those because I don't like how I look in them. And it kind of just removes you and your person from like your figure. And it's just like, those really aren't for me. Like, I'm getting rid of these shorts. They don't really serve me anymore. And it's kind of just like a nice way to remove yourself from like this piece of clothing. And then also just like commenting on like how people eat or how they work out, I think can get a little dicey. Like, even if someone's like, oh, you eat so healthy, like you're so good at staying disciplined with your workout, you may think that you're being nice and like helping them, but they may hear it as like, okay, exactly what I'm doing right now, I need to keep doing, even if that's kind of taking away from their well-being. So I think just being careful with that kind of thing, not really commenting on what people eat. Like, I had one time when I was like in my like worst eating like phase, we like had pasta that we got from my team, and I was like adding a scoop of pasta to like a big bowl of salad, and someone was like, oh, you're so like resourceful. And I was like, thanks. But like in my head, I was like, no, I literally just can't eat this bowl of pasta, but thanks. So I think just like staying away from anything like what's on people's plates. If they bring it up, like, oh, I'm eating this, you'd be like, that looks great. Like, leave it at that. Like, you don't really need to feed into any like weird food stuff that people may be dealing
with. Yeah. As a general rule of thumb, if you should just assume everyone's struggling in the opposite way and having a really hard time. And I think that's a good point too, with like over-exercising, like not talk about how like it's just not really needed, because we are all hard workers. We are all athletes. And honestly, if someone comments on what you're eating or what you're working out, that might be a good indicator that your teammate may need a little extra, you know, TLC right there, because they may be going, mm-hmm. if they're noticing that. So I like that you pointed that out, because I think that's something that could be seen as possibly like a warning sign almost. Like, I'm thinking back, I feel really bad. I remember when I was a freshman in college, I definitely kind of had suspicions that one of my teammates that was older than me might've been struggling with food. I didn't really have the language or feel like it was even my place to have that conversation. And coming from a good place, this is my teammate, I'm supposed to care about you and your well-being. And I just didn't really know what to say. So do you have any recommendations of what you can do to kind of start the conversation, or if you feel like a teammate might be struggling?
Yeah, I think it definitely comes down to just your relationship with that person. Like, if it's someone that you're closer with, I think, like, as long as you're saying it out of love and it already, like, there's a relationship of trust there, I think if it's someone you're already pretty close with, it's okay to be like, is there anything that you want to talk about with food or anything, or even share, like, I've shared, like just weird habits I've had with food that I've, like, kind of, like, turned a page on, and I'm like totally fine with now that I'm like, I see some of my friends do it, and I'm like, you know, you don't have to do that. And just kind of unpacking it and like removing them from it and being like, this is a really common thing that people can deal with, like especially in our like demographic, like college athletes, like it's super common, and like that's not really shown so much. So I think if it's someone that you feel close enough and comfortable with, I think it's fine to like ask if they're doing okay. One thing I would warn against though is just like trying to diagnose people or like treat people, because that's one of my biggest things. It's like, we're college athletes, we're teammates, we're supportive of each other, but like, I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian or like a therapist or anything like that. Like, that's above my pay grade to just like diagnose people and treat them. So I think knowing your relationship there and then taking steps from there. But then if it is someone that you don't feel like you really have the relationship to say something, I would just say like, okay, I'm going to just focus on creating like an environment that they feel comfortable with me. If they ever do want to come to me, like maybe putting out just like, hey guys, anyone can talk to me about anything. I've had this, if you feel comfortable sharing anything that you've gone through, and just eliminating any like harmful language yourself, because that's one step in like kind of just changing your whole team culture. So I think any of that, I would try and stay away from like going to other people about things that you might be concerned with, or going to like coaches unless it's really serious or you think you really need to, because if that were me dealing with that, I think I may feel more awkward if I felt like a lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you bring up a good point too, because that, I mean, that was the reason why I didn't feel like I could say anything, because I was a freshman and that was not our team culture. I felt like it was not my place and I don't know you that well. I've met you a month ago. I don't really know. So what, I guess first, what kind of team culture do you have? And is there anything you've done that, or you or your team in general, coaches, nutritionists, anyone that's done to try to help create a more healthy and welcoming and open environment?
Yeah, totally. So I think we have a really great team culture on my team. We definitely have basically everything from my Instagram that I've touched on is like my experiences on my team. So we definitely all have experience in a like team group that jokes about eating and stuff and like exercises outside of practice, stuff like that. But I do think that my team is really close and like we prioritize trust above basically anything else. And it's like, we're going to deal with this within the team. We're going to support each other, have each other's backs, cover each other, trust our coaches with our lives. Like I started this Instagram as part of a school project for one of my classes. And like immediately everyone was so supportive, was like, oh, I'll send you quotes. Like, I'll help you with this. And like, it kind of just started a ripple effect on my team of just being like, someone will say something and someone's like, hey, change the vocab, go on now. And it's like that easy, because when you already have that relationship and that network, then it's like, obviously everyone's going to support you and listen to what you're saying. So I may have kind of veered away from that question. Sorry.
Okay. Honestly, I think that's ultimately what's important, because I've talked about this with Taylor some. Taylor was a freshman when I was a senior, and my freshman year, we were kind of excluded. We were kind of, you know, like we were the low man on the totem pole and everything. And that was just kind of the team culture. Like freshmen carry jerseys, freshmen carry bands, freshmen do all this stuff. We didn't get invited to like the upperclassmen. Like I remember like we decorated someone's locker for their 21st birthday. And like they had like a birthday dinner that night. And I get it, we didn't know them, but like we did not get invited. Like it was just like a very like culture that like was not there. And if one of those people, if I was struggling, so like, you know, hypothetically, let's say freshman Emily is struggling. If one of those people came up to me and then tried to tell me like, hey, I just want to check on your relationship with food, I would have taken that horribly. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, oh, there's rumors going around. People are talking. Did this come from you? Where is this coming from? You don't even like me. Like we're both the same position and we're not friends. Like this is not authentic. And I don't feel like it's coming from a place of, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, love. So I think you bring up a good point that the first step in changing the team culture is actually to have a positive team culture. It is to have an environment that's built on love and respect and inclusion. So at the end of the day, I would rather have that relationship that I could go to that. And every single one of my teammates would 100% believe me in my authenticity. And with all my other teammates. And we did actually, that was like one of the main things we focused on changing, was the take out the competitiveness in positions and kind of be more like, hey, freshman year was really tough. Let's all be there. And like, I mean, like you see, Taylor and I are now working together 10 years later. I was just a bridesmaid in one of the freshmen's weddings. Like it can actually be more harmful if you don't have that basis of trust. So like, let's focus on first and foremost, being a good teammate. And then the conversations are going to be much more easier for you to interject. Cause I feel confident that I could call, if Taylor was making a joke right now, like I could be like, Taylor, watch that. Like, or whatever your joke, like, hey, let's change the vocab there. Like, I love that little phrase. And I think that's like a good place to come from of like focus on having that family environment. Mm-hmm. As much as it's hard, like, you know, you don't get to pick your teammates always, but like, you can still include everyone and you can still care about everyone, even if you may not agree on everything. You may not be friends after college, but it's so much better and like so much easier than to encourage that environment. So then when a new group of freshmen comes in, that's just already the culture. So it might take a while. And that's why I really like giving these talks to teams, because it's coming from a third party. It's not the coach saying you guys are doing this. It's not a one player standing up saying like, I want to change things. It's like, hey, it's coming from a place of, we all want you to have a better experience.
Yeah.
How did this change the vocab kind of conversation start up?
Yeah. So actually for the class that I started the Instagram for, it's a public health class, and we just had to pick one health problem that we're passionate about and do a project long semester a semester long project. And it just couldn't be a paper. So I picked like eating disorders among college athletes because I just thought it would be interesting. And it started out, I was just going to post like Instagrams of like statistics and like find studies. But I was telling my roommates about it, and like they were like super enthusiastic about helping me. And my roommate, Claire Mills, who's on the team with me, she was like, the same day that we were talking about it, someone was like, it's skinny season. And she was like, hey, change the vocab, it's healthy season. And I was talking about that with her later in the day. And she was like, yeah, I would totally help you with it. Like, I would send you a quote. And I was like, do you mind if I use change the vocab as like the Instagram handle name? She was like, no, absolutely. So then for one of my like first posts, I was like, oh, I'm going to do a feature on you. And I did like a little picture of her playing and said like, change the vocab, it's healthy season. And then I sent that just in my team group me and was like, hey guys, like, I'm starting this Instagram for one of my classes. Like, if anyone wants to send me a quote and be featured. And then like, everyone just started following it, like sharing it on their stories, was super like super nice about it. And like my coaches were texting me, a couple girls on the soccer team sent me quotes too. So it was kind of spreading to other teams, which is awesome. Sorry, I started getting away from that question again.
No, that was exactly my question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everyone just followed it, started sharing it, which was super nice, super supportive, but I wouldn't expect anything different because that is how my team is.
Yeah, no, but I think that says a lot, because it wasn't even like, but again, that comes from the place of, it came from an organic place. It wasn't you saying, we have a team problem that needs to be addressed here. It came from a place of you identifying this problem, you starting it, and then like everyone agreeing. And so I think that's the crazy thing about the Virago project also, is that it started similar, just as a Instagram account where we just wanted to share some struggles, because Taylor and I didn't know about the struggles either of us went through as individual athletes until after college. And we're like, that's pretty messed up. Like, we cared about each other a lot, but we did not voice any of our problems, even though, like I said, we were changing the culture. We were being friends, but it was just to have a good environment that we didn't hate going to practice and wanting to transfer. It wasn't based on like, oh, I want to help support your mental health. Yeah. So like, we're like, okay, we need to change this. And then we get messages and DMs from people and like people wanting to share their stories like you. And it's just like overwhelming of how many people want women's sports to be a more inclusive environment, equal environment, happier environment, healthier environment. So I think it's just, you know, one of those things that you don't even realize there's a need for it until you do that. So I'll probably actually, I love that. Change the vocab. I'm going to steal that. That's going to be this episode title. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good way that if anyone's listening, either if it's a coach or if it's a current athlete, I think it's a really easy way that if you want to say like, hey, I just listened to this podcast with this lacrosse player from Johns Hopkins. Look at, she started this Instagram account, and just take a look at her Instagram, take a look, share this podcast episode and be like, I think this is something that we could implement. That's a very non-confrontational way. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy way just to be like, check out this page. I think this is something we can implement on our team. What do you think? And like, it can be super chill, can come from the coach, can come from a nutritionist, can come from an athletic trainer. It really could come from like a parent being like, hey, I just want to check in. Because unfortunately, it's very hard to find a team culture that I would say that it's not in collegiate athletics. Yeah. So if you're listening and saying like, oh, this isn't me, that's fine. But like, I would just challenge you just to like pay attention for a week in season, your next team dinner, and just kind of pay a little more attention, tone in. To that as well. So I think the page is a great way. This podcast is a great way. Because if you're listening or if you're following these pages, you already obviously want to improve. You want to have these conversations. You want to have these discussions and process through it. So I think that's really good. Mm-hmm. All right. To wrap up, I always try to leave our listeners with some takeaways on what we talk about. So do you have any pledges that you can think of, some firm, concrete changes that athletes, women athletes should be removing from their vocabulary to improve their team culture?
Yeah. So I think just as a general guideline, I would say anything along the lines of just the idea that you do your sport because you want to look a certain way, and just reminders that you do your sport because you love it. You are on your team because you love being on your team, as well as you love your teammates because of who they are and not what they look like. And your teammates love you because of who you are, not what you look like. And you are on your team because of what you can do both on your field or court or in the pool and in the classroom. Like, you ended up where you are for a reason, and it's not what you look like. So just a reminder that there's so much more to people than looks, and any way that we can kind of remind people of their value without tying it to what they look like, what they're eating, how they're exercising is easy. And you may not know who you're helping by implementing these changes, just avoiding harmful language, good and bad foods, or skinny or little, anything along those lines. You just may not know who you're helping, even if it's not like really for you.
I think that's awesome. I am going to steal one from your Instagram and one that I have just been thinking of, because I do this all the time. And I think probably lots of people, women and men, do. The first one was, while you're trying to control your language, it can be hard. I get things slip out, but like, let's focus. Mm-hmm. And this is one of your posts you had about text messages. And I think that's like a really good one of stop texting people about what you just ate, about what you just worked out, about something you hate about your body. Mm-hmm. And because I think that's one that is a really good starting spot for change. And then like, and it can be easier then to, you know, hit change the vocab back. And like you alluded earlier, it's just human nature. When someone comments about how they don't like how their acne is bad, all of a sudden I'm commenting on how I haven't lost any of my pregnancy weight. And like, how does that, like, okay, now let's throw insults about ourselves back and forth. Like, that's, and especially over text message, that can be a really, I don't want to say easy, because it's still going to be something you have to be mindful of. But I think, if you start at text message or even Instagram comments now, and like start trying to change, start the change there. And then the second one is another one that's kind of small, but after you're taking a group picture, your boyfriend's taking a picture, your teammate's taking a picture of you, maybe pictures get posted on your athletic site, watch what your first words are after that. One, agree to, like, if you're in a good mindset, agree to take the picture. Don't worry like about what you're wearing. If you're like, your acne's bad, you're not wearing makeup, your hair's not done, like really just try to focus on like, this is your body. And then two is not having that negative reaction to it. Saying that, I this is a bad angle. Oh, I look fat here. Oh, can we take another one? Oh, like, I mean, don't, like, I'm not saying don't take the other picture, but what if you just said, can we actually take a different picture, instead of saying, my thighs look like, like going down that road. So those are the two ones that, like, if you're like, I have no clue how to change an entire team's culture in this next week. Those were my two little, I guess, small ones, for you. That's okay. So that's all the questions I had for you, but, in your own health journey, are there any takeaways that you found in your own body image, food, just as a woman athlete, that, you've learned along the way that you would like to pass on to any of our sportswomen?
Yeah. One of the big like learning moments for me was like, stop labeling food as good or bad, because as soon as you start being like, okay, I can't eat this, 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 then that's when you kind of get into the cycle of like, I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to overrestrict. I'm going to work out way more. And then you swing back on the other side, and then you're like, eating all this, and you're like, I don't even want to be eating this. I feel so gross, but like, I have to eat this for some reason. And so as soon as you can just allow yourself to like kind of just listen to your body and what your body wants or needs that day, not based on like how much you worked out or being like, okay, I burned this many calories, so I'm going to have this, or like, I'm going to go on a run for this long before going out because I know I'm going to be drinking and like, that's going to be more calories. Like as soon as you kind of let go of trying to track and control, your body like falls into a natural state of knowing what it needs and wants at different times. So just not being too restrictive. And like, if you ever see the little Instagram posts on like the diet pages that are like six foods never to eat, it's just yes. Like, now I can see that and be like, that's so dumb. Like, that's not true. Or like, I remember one time when I was younger, my mom was like, oh, watch out for like peanut butter. Like peanut butter's fattening. I didn't eat peanut butter for like a year. And then I was like, why did I do that? Like, it's like not logical, and you know, it's not logical, but until you're on the other side of it, you're like, wow, I was really stuck in that for a while. So I think just being like, there's no such thing as a good or bad food is a really good step. And then also what I touched on earlier, just like the sharing of activity and like the being like a little bit too obsessed with like Apple Watch or Whoop or like Fitbit or whatever, just like knowing that that's like a tool that its point is to make you like want to use it all the time. Like it's a marketing ploy kind of, and it's like great to have. Like I have a Whoop, I really like it, but it's like, you can't be tied to that and you can't be like counting your calories based on that, because it's not completely accurate. It's a little tool that like is made by a company that wants you to keep buying their products. So not trying to equate calories and exercise, I think those are two things that are like huge. And if you can stop doing those two things, then you're on a much better path.
Yeah, I think so. The main thing I'm getting from that is like, stop qualifying your, mm-hmm. like, stop qualifying what you're eating, stop qualifying what you work. Like, you can work out to work out. Like, but, you know, it's funny too, because I remember in college also, you know, I keep saying, oh, I didn't have a problem. And I keep like saying, like, oh, maybe I had a much bigger problem than I thought that I was able just to like come out of. I would go on the treadmill and I wouldn't stop at time. I wouldn't stop at miles. I would stop at calories burned from this random equation. And it's just like, why is that what, like, why is that what I picked of all the different metrics that I mean, because I'm sure the calories burned equals the same. Like, it's probably like, I have no clue. I'm not even gonna guess, because I have no clue. It's been so long since I've done that. But I'm sure the same calories burned takes about the same time. But why was I not wanting to look at the time? Yeah. I was wanting to look at the calories. No, thank you so much for all that advice. We will tag your page. But thank you so much. I am just so shocked, because Kira was a senior. So the fact that you guys are able to speak about this, like our last two guests are current athletes. And that's just the, like, I am shocked with how perceptive and how much you've learned in such a short time. And you're going to help so many people just by hearing this episode. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experiences today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. I'm sure we'll keep in touch for future projects and stuff, but let us know if you need anything. It was really nice meeting you and talking.
Yeah. Nice to meet you too. This was awesome. Bye.